right, so welcome to the first episode of the Boltcast, an AMS2 related podcast. No gameplay, nothing fancy, just a couple of guys talking about their favorite sim. Feel free to set your phone down, minimize your browser, hit the bookmark or whatever, and come back later. We're going to be getting into the cars, the tracks, interesting forum discussions, YouTube videos, you name it. We're going to hit it. But first, since this is episode one, let's get some introductions out of the way. I'm Steel, obviously. Hi. And my esteemed co-host is Oz. He's been a regular contributor to the Steelcast 27 Discord for a couple of months now. And I knew you prior to that from the forums, Oz. Tell us a little bit about yourself, when you started playing AMS 2, how you feel the game is, what got you hooked, things like that.
Wow, you talk fast. I don't think I can match that.
It's a lot of coffee.
What was the specific question again?
What got you hooked into AMS 2?
Oh, that's I've been sim racing on, like playing racing games and sim racing on the Xbox, and then like way before, like in the 2000s, I also had a PC. But so I came back to PC sim racing last year. And I noticed, I had heard about Automobilista, and then I also noticed that, oh, there's Automobilista 2, but it was in early access, but I got it, ironically, after watching this, video from Gamer Muscle, so good job.
That's so funny.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it looked good. I got that, but I got, a bunch of the, I was waiting for ACC to launch on the Xbox, but then after I pre-ordered that, I went for the PC, ordered parts and built it, and then I bought ACC on the PC. I also bought
It on discount? ACC, be honest.
No.
Oh, you bought full price. I got mine on discount.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of stuff full price. I bought the all content for Rage Room full price, and then I got I already had AC for reasons, but I got AMS2, and I'm not sure when exactly the bug hit me bad. I suppose I think it was around the time I borrowed a VR headset. Ended up buying the specific headset. I think it was just I was spending so much time in VR in AMS2, and we know that it's one of the better in terms of performance. It's one of the easier and also best. Just really good looking. You don't need to crank up the graphics. It has this pleasing visual direction.
I race in VR as well, and it's in AMS2 definitely hooked me too. I mean, it's definitely a big consideration for a lot of people. I know VR is it doesn't click with a lot of people because they can get some motion sickness, but I didn't have that problem fortunately. But
same here.
VR, just being able to see the corner apex was just it was magnificent for me, because before that I was racing on a 27 inch wide screen and trying to put it as close to my face as possible. Yeah. But VR was just an eye opening, and my computer's not that strong, and AMS2 drives it unbelievably well, and it was I sort of can't go back now. It's it's done. I'm VR for the rest of my life, baby. That's it. So Oculus, here's my money for the next generation as soon as I have some. So
yeah, that's basically it. It began with just this is amazing. The first time you try it, VR, with a steering wheel and pedals and a rig. Mm-hmm. I think the first time you try that is just overwhelming. I didn't get motion sickness because I seem to be immune to it. But in VR, I may get it elsewhere, theme park rides or whatnot. I can't actually get it, but VR is no problem for some reason. And yeah, I'm lucky that way. I know it's not that's definitely not the case for everyone, but you can also you can train your way out of motion sickness.
But like, what was the car? Like, what was, do you have like a specific moment when you were like, okay, AMS2 is coming up the charts? And like, what time frame was that? Because, you know, they obviously were developing the game and there were just like a lot of ups and downs through the course of 2020.
I think I really just started maining AMS2 by the t it was probably sometime after the 1.0 launch. So this was after well, whenever that was, but that's around July 2020,
Oh, okay.
2020. And
That's really early, as far as I know, like looking at the Steam numbers. Like
yeah, I mean,
there was a
I
drop
was,
off like right around there, like a big one, but then it sort of like kind
yeah.
of stabilized.
Oh yeah,
But you've been
I
a
was.
stalwart since July. That's awesome.
Yeah, I played it earlier as well, but that's when I think I really just
Started to
like
click.
started forgetting about the other Sims. Not that I have anything against them. I mean, actually, I there's a. Well, we'll get to the Syntacros, the online racing later, but there's actually a race room coming in the group fives, and I'm really looking forward to that. But I mean, as far as like getting in the rig and like going through the process of what am I gonna
It's sounds like
what
it's
am I
an
gonna race
evolution.
today? Yeah,
Changing
what?
Sims is like an evolution. You have to change your mentality, you have to change your
Yeah.
habits, you have an opportunity to start fresh. And like I think everybody has their own like AMS2 success story, I guess you could say, or evolution, where they become
Yeah.
dr more drawn. And I know there's a lot of people that didn't feel that way, and I think I'm an example of both. When I was interested in AMS2, I was interested in it back when it was like, I think when it was like first announced. I think there were some videos out there that said, AMS2 is in plans and it's being developed by Ryza Studios. So I didn't know who Ryza Studios was at the time. I wouldn't even consider myself a sim racer per se. I was driving, F1. The F1 Codemasters games, but I wanted to explore a little bit more serious sim racing. So some of the YouTubers I was watching were dabbling in other sims outside of F1 series. And so I was like, oh, I would like to see if I can hack it. I played a little Project Cars 2. It didn't click with me at all at the time. But I did a ton of research about Ryza. I know that they were contributor. They had AMS1. And I think they did a lot of really popular mod work for AC. And everything I've read about them as a company was positive, like extremely positive. So I was like, okay, at some point you have to take a leap of faith and be like, okay, so this game is going to be good in some way, right? So and I wanted to have like a good feel. I wanted to, get that more sim kind of feel. So I can't I decided to get the season pass, and I started playing it for a couple of months. I started missing multiplayer a little bit, and at that point I think ACC had like a discount, and so I bought ACC, so I drove a little bit of that. But at the same time, I sort of there was something that was nagging at me in the back of my mind, and that was these cars, they don't feel right to me. Why? And I thought initially, I think everybody feels this way, that you think it's you yourself as a driver, and a little many times it is. But I started getting into telemetry and setup work, and it just sort of became a passion of mine from that point on. And so telemetry, the RST telemetry that I use, sort of opened up this whole entire world to me that has been enriching from, not only just a personal and hobby level, but, from like a life level. I think all this knowledge is going to be carried on, for better or for worse. I'll be really great at some dinner parties maybe. But essentially what happened was I started making my game decisions about, about the telemetry. And I tried the telemetry with ACC and I didn't like it how it operated. There's a lot of little things going on there that didn't make sense to me, and I didn't really find it as a very good learning platform. I came out a lot of the sessions with more questions than answers, so things weren't as straightforward for me. And believe it or not, I went into Project Cars. I went back to Project Cars 2, and the telemetry in Project Cars 2 is pristine. It's an excellent way to learn telemetry, is Project Cars 2. Every time you make a damper adjustment, it's just like there it is on the screen. You can get these perfect damper histograms that I sometimes show on my videos. Everything is so straightforward. But I realized it was a dying game, so I came back to AMS 2 and sort of started picking up the bug there. And then when I started getting really good at setting up cars and be like, holy crap, this car feels night and day from when I first started driving it, I was like, you know what? I have some time. Let me throw a video together, put some music on it, give people the setup and see what they think. So I just started posting videos on YouTube. After that, it sort of kind of snowballed on me. And people started taking interest in trying the setups and I guess small groups at a time. And now I'm just like, I guess you could say I'm 1.5 years into this whole entire experience with AMS2 and telemetry and all that stuff. But I have nothing but happiness for what I'm doing, and I look forward to having this work to do at night. And and I can't multiplayer race very much because my hours are weird. So like my AMS2 story is, I think, is a little bit unique, especially in the fact that I can't actually like race a lot of the time. So I do a lot of AI testing too. But yeah, I think when it clicked for me, the car was it had to have been a, it was a GT3. And I think it was the Porsche. Yeah, it was definitely the Porsche. And it was right around the time when the Porsche was getting clobbered for having that bouncy suspension. Do you remember that? Like it was
Oh, I do.
about
Yes,
October.
I mean that was a clear issue.
It was a
Like,
huge issue for everybody. And you know what I did? I devoted myself to just like trying to solve it, or at least mitigate that. So I think my first video was like, had the Porsche in the garage as the thumbnail, and it said, now with 80% less bounce. Because I felt like I had pretty much solved it, and it came down to, a damping issue. Now, I think the game still struggles with bounce a little bit, but it's night and day from when it was back then. And that's when I realized that you, as a sim racing driver, can actually influence the physics of the game you're playing. So it wasn't like just the game, here it is, here are the physics. Now, do you like it or you don't? End of story. No, the conversation is a lot, it's more of like a back and forth. You can have a conversation with AMS2 in the setup screen, through the setup screen, and dial in the cars the way you like them. And that was sort of like a coup for me. So that's really my origin story, especially for this channel. Yeah, I think as far as like numbers are concerned, are you concerned at all for any of the player base, the Steam numbers? I know that's a hot topic. Everybody likes, oh, the Steam numbers are so bad. Are you concerned about that at all? Or are you optimistic?
nah, couldn't care less. If Renato says that they're hitting their financial targets, I don't know what the, like, someone would have to explain to me what the Steam player base activity thing has to do with that. As long as they get money to bring in new updates and keep the actually active player base happy, then that's, I don't know, that's good enough for me. I know there's always a chance that we will see it go up with when they start. Because they've promised to start looking into regular races, like official ones, and then they'll also bring out the rating system, which we'll actually see which one is the regular race thing might be the big deal. But I think it also has to, I think it'll come when they think that the net code is good enough, because we also know that the net code has some stuff in it. But they've acknowledged that in the in the Q&A, I think.
A lot of their work, if you read the between the lines of whatever Renato says, anywhere you can find it, a lot of their work is cleaning up, where they think that there was gaps in the legacy, I guess, Project Cars Madness engine. And the net code was, hello, an issue with Project Cars 2, and people complained about it.
Oh,
So
rough.
so they
I
had to
didn't
clean all
even,
that stuff up, So and I know the rating system is going to be, in my opinion about the Steam numbers are that it's a false positive. Like if you want to compare apples to apples, compare like a really competitive game like iRacing to ACC and look at the numbers there. So they have strong multiplayer, like extremely strong multiplayer presence. Okay, so if you when you mix AMS2 in the conversation, it's sort of like a little bit of an orange because, well, AMS2 doesn't really have a multiplayer presence, and there's reasons for that. I think there's two main reasons. One is I don't think people are, I think a lot of people that are out there in the world that could dabble in AMS2 are afraid to do so because they don't want to devote the time and energy to it. And they may be multiplayer focused, and then that would just be like a no-brainer. Okay, so there's no multiplayer. There's no component, and do I want to devote my time to this game? How much time? Like, I found myself sitting here if I didn't like on some nights thinking like, what would I be doing right now if I wasn't working on setups? And I'm just like, okay, I'm not the biggest like AI race guy. Like, I've never driven like a complete career mode except for the F1 Codemasters. So like my bar of like an immersive career mode is actually pretty high because they do that so it's so well in that game.
Yeah, agree.
But yeah, so I'd sit back and think, okay, what I'd be doing right now? Time trial. That gets tiresome after a while, especially if you start realizing that, yeah, you're pretty much going to be in the 20%, 30%, 40% range. You look at the aliens and it's just such an unattainable mountain to reach. The struggle is worthwhile, I think, because you to get faster because it ultimately, you're sharpening your knives, so you get faster and faster. But yeah, the multiplayer rating system, I think, is sort of crucial because people want to invest in a good game. They do. And there's a lot of people out there that play multiple sim games, and I know that AMS2 is part of the conversation for a lot of people. Are they willing to pull the trigger on it? And I think when the multiplayer system comes out, that's going to be the marker. If the game doesn't exponentially grow at that point, we're in trouble. But I'm still really optimistic. Right now, I think it's kind of content driven. People come in, they drive the cars, they may like it, but what are you going to do after that? You can do a Laguna Seca race. You can do a Daytona race. Maybe start a custom championship, but you're not logging into the online multiplayer system yet. So I think that's going to be a crucial time for this game, and I'm actually really optimistic about it. I think there's so much beauty to the game in a lot of different ways, with some obvious things that they have to clean up, but. Once it starts to click with the player base as a whole, I think there's going to be like sort of a exponential growth after that. There's no reason to assume that this wouldn't be at least as popular as Project Cars 2 right now. And Project Cars 2 last year had three GT lobbies going at the same time. So there's no reason to expect anything less from AMS2. It's just going to be better than that. And anything to segue people into other content as well. The one advantage I think you have, and I have, and a lot of people that are sort of probably listening to this channel because they're interested in the game or already playing it, is like any time you devote to this, like you're getting faster. Like you're practicing. Like even if it's just doing practice test mode laps, you're getting to know each of the cars. Maybe you're dabbling into different cars, different tracks that Brazilian tracks you haven't tried or whatever. You're getting into it. So, like, what would be your favorite car right now?
Right now, I would have to say it is a bit of a boring answer, but it's the RSR. It's a boring answer because it's
Mainstream. So
mainstream
mainstream.
and it's the new car, but I mean they knocked it out of the park with that one. But
They did.
beyond Racing USA, I'm gonna actually have to use the Cars of Amos 2 as a I say, what do you call it? Like, as my notes, because I have to check. What cars are there? There are quite many cars in AMS2, if
Oh,
you haven't
well,
noticed.
now this is an opportunity for a plug here. Everybody, Oz is the proprietor of Karzim AFMS2 website, which is sort of like an amalgamation of just information you've gathered from various sources, and you can tell us what they were. What you decided to do was put all the cars on this website so that we all have some an interesting graphical representation of what these cars are. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it's actually just a tiny little project that got a bit out of hand. It's based on, because I do web development as my day. I mean, I don't really do that as much these days, but I am a web developer, and so I saw an opportunity in that how do you pronounce that guy's name who does the spreadsheet with all the cars on it on the
Koyana?
forum?
Koyanya?
Koanda.
Is there a D in there? Oh yeah, it's Koyanda. I mean, he's an all-star. I think everyone loves his avatar, to be honest.
Oh,
I crack up every time I see that.
Eddie Jordan looking at
Yeah.
stuff. Yeah,
Yeah, distracted Eddie Jordan.
it's a bit, it, yeah, it's a bit okay. anyway, the moving along. It's anyway, his spreadsheet. I saw that. I was like, you know what? This is typical, like data importing stuff. And then I just started building a website which I can like build and rebuild easily based on like the data that I have there. So I used the spreadsheet as the base. I had a chat with him, changed some stuff, added some columns just to fit the needs of the website.
So what
But
kind of information is in it?
on the website
Yeah,
or the spreadsheet.
the
So
website.
basically, yeah,
Why is
basically
it valuable?
thanks to Coanda's work, for all the cars in AMS2, you have information like it's like, I don't know if manufacturing year is the correct, but like year, the car's year. And the obviously class, but also stuff like power figures, which are tested in game using the in-game
Oh, so they test them
HUD.
too? It's not just off of like the load-in screen. They're actually
No,
testing these things.
yeah, I think these. It says on the spreadsheet that these are from.
Okay.
From the game, so they're like measured figures, but the weight is from the loading screen, I think, and then there's also power to weight ratio calculated. Then there's stuff that Coanda added, which is engine displacement. Does it have well, basically, is it naturally aspirated or turbocharged?
Right, which is a
Engine
huge.
layout,
I would go to the
engine
website
layout.
just for turbo, just to figure out if a car has a turbo, to be honest with
Yeah, that's a huge thing at Kyalami
Spielberg.
or Interlagos or Spielberg. Yeah, or Ibarra is the worst with the naturally aspirated engine. Then you have like all the if it has the assist and the features and some practicalities like headlights. Do we have headlights? So you can go check. Well, does the classic Gen 3 Model 3, does it have headlights? No. Pre-warm tires also good. I mean, you'll notice that when you get on the track.
Right.
Are the tires blue
Yeah.
or green? But like, there's practical stuff there
I mean,
that's
yeah, I think it's
really
great
useful.
because there's a lot of sometimes you're not always at your computer able to play the game, like or race. And
Yeah.
it doesn't mean that your interest in this kind of stuff just turns off. So it's like
Yeah.
I'll find
This
my,
is
I research, set up stuff all the time and refer to all sorts of online materials when I'm trying to think about how I'm going to approach a car. And your website as is one of those things. Like if you're trying to have a discussion with somebody, like even on the forums, and you're just talking about a car and you don't recall, some specific parameters or horsepower or power to rate ratios off the top of your head, but you're not in the game so you can't boot it up, go to Cars of AMS2 and there it is, boom. Like so it's
Yeah,
really great.
it's
So I love that
AMS.
work.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But let's go back to the RSR for a minute, okay? So
Yeah.
you're in the group of people, I think there's a large group of people that love the Porsche and it might be their favorite. Do you think it's the fastest GTE out of the three?
I was faster than Nemesis for probably
Don't
like
say
two
it.
hours.
Don't say that because it's not going to last very long.
It didn't last. It didn't last very long. He, but it, I took a screenshot and
Yes, and you preserved it for
I
posterity. You should frame
yeah,
it.
it's I have a like one of the walls is like I made wallpaper out of it and just like
That's
redid a wall at
hysterical.
my house.
And then
Yeah.
you get like you're in a bad mood. You get a bad mood and you just like
I just
pull
look
it
at
out and you
the
just look at it and be like, that was the day. That was
Yes.
my day.
That keeps me going, yeah.
No,
That
that's so funny. What
screenshot
track was it?
is
Do you remember?
whoa. You'll never guess.
Oh, let me say it starts with an L and ends with an H.
Yes.
That is the Porsche's track, to be honest.
Yeah,
That is.
Long Beach. They don't call me the mayor of Long Beach for no reason.
That's a
I mean,
lovely.
actually, they do call it is for no reason actually. But I'm a big fan, so that's why I
There's
have that.
actually a couple of reasons I think that the Porsche is great at Long Beach. Now it's conducive to the car because it's got that Porsches always have like that really great, rotation. So a 90-degree corner is like what the Porsche is almost made for. It's designed to do well. It doesn't have like long, high speed, Kyalami type right-handers where it's falling away from you. Where that kind of the Porsche will struggle. But the other thing is I think is perfect for Long Beach with the Porsche is the walls and the audio reverberation.
I
It's
was just
just
gonna
like
say
it hits
that.
you like down there, downstairs as soon as you hear it for the first time, if you know what I mean. So
If, well, yes, and even if someone was gonna say that, yes, but the BMW is 0.5 seconds faster typically, and this and that, and blah blah blah. Yes, but it doesn't sound like this. And then I just like,
the
I'm just
BMW
like.
does sound good, but you have to be in track mode. When it goes past you in track mode, it's got that gurgle. I love that gurgle.
Is
But you
it,
don't
don't you
hear it
think
when you're
the
in car,
don't
unless
you
it's some
think
other
the
car.
sh when it does the shift cut when you hear it shift like shifting externally, it sounds like it removes all sound from the world for a few milliseconds.
Yes.
It just wait, the next time you play AMS2 in the GTEs, just have a listen. Like
But
it sounds
was
like it
like that with the
removes all
M6
sound.
though too, right?
And
The M6 had like this when they first introduced the M6, it was just like you could hear cars that were lapped on the other side of the track downshifting and it was just like okay, it just like took over all the volume of the entire game. Because all you could
yeah,
hear
and
when you're watching a replay was M6's
yeah.
downshifting.
By the way, I'm not saying that it seems like a glitch. I think it's just the there's probably like an anti-lag system or something that it makes a weird like burp. like a really loud
I think it's the tranny whine.
bassy sound.
I think it's a transmission, right?
No. The exhaust makes a there's a loud all sorts of it's not a pop. It's like a loud
Right.
thing that
Okay.
happens when it cuts the throttle when it shifts.
Yeah. Have you
So yeah,
ever.
that's something you can listen. You can hear that when you raise the AI BMWs and they're in front of you. Yeah.
Okay. What about. Have you driven any of the Formula Retros and watched a track side view of those when they go by?
I don't really recall doing that.
So this is something I thought was funny, just as a like a side
Yeah.
note. Okay, so you play retro, and there's like the some of them. I'm not sure if it's all the retros, but some of them will have like this a backfire, like a bang,
Yeah.
when they're cornering. So they're downshifting and they'll backfire, and then watch like a race. Like say put like 30 or 20 to 30 cars on the track, and then and then sit watch. In track mode, and it's just gonna be like bang, 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 bang. It's so funny because they're all like downshifting, they're all backfiring. And I thought like backfiring was like an occasional thing. I didn't know it would happen every single time. Maybe it does. I don't know. But I just thought it was so funny.
It happens in some modern like road cars you can buy today. Like they're ridiculous with the overrun, or I don't know what you call it. The Ford Fiesta that they sell in Europe. They don't sell the new one in the US, I don't think. But the one they sell in Europe, the Ford Fiesta ST, so that has like so much like just like not I don't think it's backfiring per se, but it has like that like some sort of exhaust thing that makes it just like I don't know what the other what the word for it is, but it's kind of like backfiring.
Yeah.
So
I think
much
I
like
know what you're talking about because I
just
was,
consistently, yeah.
yeah, I was on the road the other day and, I'm driving my wife and kids around, okay? And this guy pulls up and no, I pulled in behind him and I was following him around and he had a convertible, but it was like, I can't remember what kind of car it was. Maybe it was like a Miata. No, it was a Miata. So he just keeps revving the car and I'm just like, what's going on here? And then, some people have like souped up exhausts and things like that. So I look down there and that's not uncommon in my area that have people have like these, performance exhaust systems. And he was just like having a grand old time. And I'm like, what's going on? So we made the turn and then I wound up like two lanes to the right of him, but like side by side. And he kept revving and I'm like looking at him. And then like all I see is like these flames coming out of the exhaust. And then he's like looking at me and I'm looking at him and he's like, he's got like this excited look on my face. And I was like, I gave him the thumbs up. I had a big smile on my face. I was like, yep, it's happening. And he just starts hopping up and down in his chair. Like he couldn't like, it was like he just installed it and he was just looking for this flame effect. And it was just like such a, like a bro moment, like a stranger bro moment. Like if I could have reached out and like fist pumped him, I was like excited for him. And my wife, it's like, what's going on? And I'm like, he's got a cool exhaust on his car. That's what's going on.
You, yeah, there's no way to explain that to someone who doesn't, yeah.
So, why Long Beach? What's your fascination with Long Beach? You were the mayor of Long Beach. It's a
Has a
name that you've been earned. I think you've earned. Why? What's up with Long Beach?
it's they have a Bubba Gump shrimp restaurant next to T1.
Yes, and you
No.
were hungry.
It's I don't know. It's like I really love street circuits, but not maybe Monaco that much, but
Yeah, I get it.
like a good street circuit. That because Long Beach is it's not a glamorous street circuit. It's just a street circuit that's
It's grit.
bumpy,
It's
and
gritty.
it's
It's got a grittiness to
greedy,
it. Yeah.
greedy, yes, greedy street circuit. And I think the layout is really good. It has some people say it doesn't have nice flow. I think it does. But anyway, and it has a bunch of really tricky corners because, for example, I'm really bad at numbers. Even though it's like one of my favorite tracks, I still can't remember it. But I believe it's T4 is the
Right-hander.
right-hander. It's like off camber, and then it has the weird curb that if you run over the curb, you'll just like launch into space. And not in AMS2 only, but like I think It's just is like that. It's you bottom out,
It's a
and
fantastic corner. It's got its own unique character, and I think
really, really bumpy.
someone
Really bumpy, so
mentioned
it upsets the car. Yeah.
someone mentioned that in the Discord, I think, recently, and I was like, you know how they name corners in on European tracks? Well, they name corners everywhere, but like it gets kind of like crazy with European tracks. Like every corner has a name: Maggots, Becketts, Cops, Stowe.
Oh,
Like it's
yeah.
everything. Like you don't name corners in the States all that much, like not to that degree. But my idea was to start naming bumps for Long Beach.
Oh, yeah, you could. Yeah. This what was the did you come up with a name for the bump in like mid corner there? Because it definitely has like
No, I
the kid
don't
at
want to
this
make it
part.
like you don't want to make it. You got to give it personality, but not to be too generic. So the thing I like think of like right now would be like we'll call that the tank slapper. But then
Oh yeah.
other, but that would be like two on the nose. I think it's got to have a little bit more personality, like Bubba Gump Corner or something. You know what I mean? Bubba Gump Bump or something.
Slappy or something like that.
Oh yeah, well maybe we'll see. I think we can have comments, people commenting, but no, let's make it our mission to name that bump on the
Oh, and
exit of corner 4 or 5 on the right hander.
there's a few specific. There's another really noticeable bump section. I mean, they are all over the track, but the other one that will catch you if you're not careful is again, don't remember the number, don't ask me, but it's the long straight before what is essentially the last twisty bit before the main straight. So there's that like long back straight, and you start in many cars you start braking at let's say at the 300 board, and you can technically begin or like leave the braking a bit later, but the problem with that is when you the first time you try that you're gonna notice the bumps that like are at about the 200, like between the 200 and 100 brake markers, and the bumps are so bad that when you're like braking hard, you will just like start going
It
sideways and just
upsets the car. Yeah.
that's that because there's
Yeah, so you got to
yeah
find
because
that balance between trying to brake as late as possible, but also consider
yeah.
the car, like how the cars are going to react. You know, the front of the car, I should say, reacts to those bumps while you're under braking. So, yeah, that's a
So
tricky one.
we
Got
gotta
a name
name
too.
that.
Okay.
Yeah,
So, all right, so that's our
that one
mission.
deserves a name as well. I don't know that the other, I mean the other bumps, I don't know that there are any other like super bad bumps. I think those two are the ones that will like catch
But even then, they
most
have
people.
character. I wouldn't say they're bad. Like, oh man, I hate this track, that bump. It's a challenge. You know, that's what this is all about. And I always found that, like,
Exactly, yeah.
if you overcook that and say, you know, you get your back end out, you know, you would lose momentum. Typically, on a normal flat, like pristine track, you would lose momentum if you have a bad exit. But in that track, I found like it felt like this. I don't know if you can confirm this or not. But if the car you're following goes over the bumps and they have a good exit, they're going over the bumps, so they're losing traction. But if you overcook it a little bit and, you know, turn the car to the side and you miss a lot of the bumps, you can actually keep pace because you're actually on a flatter part of the track. Does that make sense? You're not
Yeah,
affected by the bumps so
yeah,
much. Okay. So I'm not coming out of nowhere on that one. But I
I th
did.
I think,
Go ahead.
I think with the T4 or whatever it is, the off camber, bumpy right-hander thing, with that the trick is if you can like ride, like if you can actually like just like go like slide through the weird curb. If your car can manage that, then you, actually that's a I think that's a good line because then you also that saves you from the off camber
You cut the
part
corner
of
a
the
little bit
corner.
more,
Yeah,
yeah, and
if you
you're having
cut
that
the
rotation.
corner, yeah, you have the rotation. You don't start sliding outwards because you're not on the off camber section as much. But I think the next best line might be trying to avoid the curb because it then I mean
So
that's gonna be the final nail
there's two corners that are like that are in, like really Like you really got to nail it to get to nail it corners, those two right-handers. And I know you know what I'm talking about. There's the one with the tight, like the shark's teeth, and then there's the one with the shark's teeth and the wall, right?
It sounds like Long Beach.
That yeah, but those are the two. I think those are the two corners that like we're talking about here. Like you got to get
Yes,
that
we is.
nose, and
Yes.
especially if you got a car that relies on, like a front-wheel drive car, and it relies on like that back end coming out. That can be just an awesome feeling to get right.
You know what? I don't think I have tried a front-wheel drive car at Long Beach yet.
It's a trip. I just did Chevette by request, and
I thought that Chevette isn't that? I thought that's rear-wheel drive.
no, it's front. Copa
Is
Chevette,
it?
yeah. It was just a getting that curb, like those corners right. I did my race in Long Beach, okay, so let's just say that. And I felt like that when I watched the replay after I captured the race. It looked, I'm driving a friggin' Chevette and it looked cool as shit because you're counter steering. I think at one point I clipped the inside, like that right hand, that corner, like I clicked the concrete, but I didn't really impact my speed, but it made like this little puff of dust. Like I barely just grazed it. That's how like my front went across it, and then like it felt like I exited the corner like as if I was so close, like as if my left rear view mirror would be knocked off. That's how close I was to the corner or the outside wall. So I was just like, when I saw that, I was driving it. You're gonna hit the wall. You're just like, do I hold it? Do I hold it? Do I hold it? And to hell with it, man. Just keep the pedal down sometimes and see what happens. And I held, and I'm in a Chevette. Okay, I'm not in a Porsche RSR. Okay, I'm not like this is a Chevette, and I'm having a time of my life. And
Oh
it was
yeah.
just a great feeling. All right,
For
so
anyone who hasn't tried like the Brazilian content, like the Copa Classics, or my personal favorite, the Copa Uno,
okay, so
you
you
just
just to let
you
everybody
gotta.
know, you also have another nickname besides the
Oh
mayor of
yes.
Long Beach. You are also that Uno guy. So
Yes.
explain how that nickname came about.
It's because that's my like well yeah it's my avatar so but also oh yeah the way it like truly got started is by accident because on the forum I posted a there was a discussion going up on about something and I posted something along the lines of me as a Uno, what's the word? Expert or something like that.
What an odd thing on
That
the forums. If I came across other on the forums and like any conversation about cars, like, oh yeah, the Mercedes AMG, at this corner at Spa, like it does this, and then like the next post would be like, yeah, well the Copa Uno does.
But it was like a joke. I had it with a. There was a meme picture of a. There was a picture of Alisson Becker, the Brazilian goalkeeper, also Liverpool
Okay.
goalkeeper, smiling with a mustache. So
Okay.
that was like a like I was just like making a joke that this is me, Copa Uno expert, or like something along the. Those lines, and then 2 pages later, the discussion went on. I have no idea what the discussion was about in hindsight, but I mean, like, I just can't remember. But there was someone said there, like, I like how these people like draws in people. People are different interested in the different parts of the content. 2 pages back, there was even someone who really loves the Copa Uno. And I was like, well, okay, I'll take it.
What an obscure, like it's so, I think it's so random, but now you have something, a responsibility now. Okay. So it's on your shoulders
I
now
have, yeah.
to have, as if you have the mentality to do it, to every forum post that you come across where you feel like you can interject with Copa Uno references, you have to do it now. Like if any
I just
discussion,
someone's.
okay, so front downforce on the F30, the Formula V12s, is too strong. Well, the Copa Uno doesn't have front downforce, so we don't really have to worry.
Well, what about the adjusted rear diffuser on the Ginetta G55? Well,
Well, hey guys,
it's a bit
hey guys,
better than
hey guys. That notwithstanding, the Copa Uno, we don't really have diffuser problems. Say like we say we
we
make it sound like there's a whole crowd of Copa Uno enthusiasts behind you.
the Copa Uno fan club is
Me be the spokesperson. I will represent the Copa
what
Uno fan club in this
what is
discussion.
what is the word I'm looking for? It's concierge or something like that. Like I had to look that up because I have no idea how to spell it. But it's like
Concierge?
a something like that. It's like a like I think it's a person who's either like an expert or like enjoys.
Oh.
Like you could be like that about wine or stuff, but like in this case about
Oh, a sommelier. You're like the sommelier of the Copa Uno. That would be like a wine expert. Concierge would be like somebody at a hotel, right? Like, do you be like, hey, do you know
Oh
any good restaurants around? Hey, do you know anything about the Copa Uno
Well,
today? Yeah, I have a couple of brochures about the Copa Uno. Which color do you
I
like?
could do that.
We have several
This
Copa Uno
hotel.
rental establishments around the corner. I prefer.
I can tell you about all the fantastic deals you have around different parts of the city where you can rent these fantastic small Italian hatchbacks.
Is it Italian? I thought it was Brazilian. I guess, yeah, you would
It is
know.
Italian.
I'll take
It
your
is
word for
Italian. Yeah, Fiat Uno. I've been in one when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
We had one. My parents had one. I think just borrowed somewhere. I think it was maybe one of the main, like the cars, or the our family car was probably in the shop or something.
Right.
But anyway, I remember sitting in it, in the back seat, and going over a hill that we always drove on, and it felt like. I think my dad had to like downshift twice or something. Just couldn't.
That's funny
Anyway,
that you
I think it's
had
a
like
fantastic. I think it's a fantastic looking car. Looking at it now, it's such a simple. It has character, I think,
I think
and
it resonate a lot of those cars resonate, and I have to refer to a Donk video that came out just a couple of days ago about his Fusca. And I've been in Beetles before. I think everybody's been in a Beetle, but like after watching that video, it just brings back some kind of nostalgic to it, and I honestly I can't wait to get back and just drive the Fusca around and bang doors with it. Like it's
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah.
there's something about that aspect of this game that gets lost, in
Exactly.
global discussions about force feedback and stuff like that. Like you can get in a Fusca and just go around Goiânia like tearing it up as fast as possible and banging Pumas off the road if you want. I mean, you can't get that anywhere else, but
In fact, you can do get the Racing USA DLC, get a multi-class race going. You be in the Fusca, and then also have the DPIs. But like, just have the DPIs is like,
yeah. So
like
like do a
just to bring
five
some
lap
color to
sprint
the
race
race.
with DPIs. Let's see, what would be a good in-between class? You'd have the Fuscas as the
Well,
back.
GTE is a pretty unless is it. Well, the GTE is a pretty good in between class for
Okay.
between DPI and surely it is. I mean, it's slower than the DPI, but it's much faster
Okay. So
than
here's the
these.
challenge. Like you're in a Fusca and you're racing against, say, like 10 AI. You get 10 GTEs and 10 DPIs and you go to Long Beach.
Yes.
And then you make a 5-lap race at night and survive. And survive. Don't worry about winning.
Yeah,
Just
this is
survive.
this is the drive to survive. This is the real drive to
Yes.
survive
Yes. The Copa Fusca drive to
show.
survive. That's hysterical, dude. That's hysterical. So speaking of forums, all right, so let's segue. Anything interesting going on that you've seen on the forums lately?
Well, there's I get I suppose there's a bunch of stuff, but let's keep it mostly like let's try and keep it positive.
Of course.
The I noticed that there is some stuff. We're back to comparing levels of bounce,
Okay, that's another discussion.
bounciness.
Yep.
It is a it has it's a long long go like long-standing discussion with AMS2, and I think there were a couple people here saying that they have actually like raised these like junior formulas, and it's not well at least they've driven them, and the thought that like they will like knock the filling out of your teeth. They're really brutal, and
Like the up and down bounciness motion, or this like they're solid and they don't bounce.
it's probably. Oh yeah, I suppose there's like two things going on, like bounce in the sense that it's like uncontrolled, like it's not the suspension is not doing its
Yeah,
job correctly.
it's under damped when you're like trying to accelerate out of the corner and you're just bouncing up and down. The Porsches are notorious
Yeah,
for that.
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
But this is something else.
But that's yeah, that's something else. And
Okay.
but this is like in general, this has been going on with AMS2. I know that some people can't even like play it because the camera. I mean, the camera thing is also separate. So if the camera is too bouncy, I get motion sickness. I mean, it's not, not.
Of
I
course.
mean, if that takes you out of the game, I think that's a thing that needs to be fixed, like somehow, if it's possible to fix that. For
Either
me.
just in the game, like it might not necessarily be the cars though, it could just be the your POV.
Exactly, yeah. The cockpit camera, whatever is like, if the camera shake is, I mean, it's not even shake. It's just following the car. But if there is something that can be done, something clever, to not make some people motions, give some people motion sickness. I mean, that would be good. But related to this bounce thing, because I forgot to talk about that like way earlier. This was actually something that I most enjoyed about AMS2 when I first tried it. I mean I mean there were some tracks that had like crazy amounts of bump crazy amounts of bounce because of the track mesh. I think that was like one of the big reasons. But we still have the suspension issues in some cars, but like the fundamental level of bumps at some tracks, I still like that. Like I like how bumpy, bouncy Long Beach is, because when I get in VR, when I get into any of the, well, especially the classic F1 cars, but even like the Formula Ultimate or the F Ultimate, whatever that's called, F Ultimate, which is pretty, it has pretty good suspension. It can deal with the bumps pretty well. But even that at Long Beach is like just like a cement mixture. It's really bumpy. And
I can't fathom how karts or like any high downforce aero car or the Indy cars like they're at Long Beach. I think Detroit, like, well, I guess they go there all the time. Like Detroit is notorious for being bouncy too.
You can yeah, you can watch some of the
And it's a
onboards, and
factor. It's a factor in how they drive the cars.
you can set up, you can probably set the car up, and this is actually something that I did do at Long Beach. I set up the F, I think it was the FV10 Gen 1. I set that up. I tried to make it like cope with the bumps better. I think I made it more planted, but even so, it's an overwhelming experience, and I like that.
And you
I
can't,
like that.
sometimes you just can't tune out that experience. But then, like, the other thing with just bumps in general, too, is I think in sim racing, I mean, there's example of this of it in real life, but in sim racing, like, you're really doing a lot of curb work in sim racing. Like, if you really want to get up to the top levels of TT, you're flying over curbs. And so you're really kind of tempting the car to be bouncing. And I think I've seen there's a lot of photos of Porsche Cups in real life, like, up in the air. bouncing. So like, and I remember I was watching, I'm always late with my DVR with my races, so I'm like always backlogged, but I was watching Sebring at night, the 24-hour or 12-hour of Sebring, whatever it was. And it was at night, and I was watching the DPIs go down. Like, they had this like camera view that went down the straight, like from behind, and the DPIs are going, and they're bouncing. Like the rear ends are just going up and down as they're going down the straightaway. So,
Oh,
like,
yeah.
there is a
Yes.
natural bounce. How do you tune that out for people that have motion sickness, and how do you tune it out with cars, and whether or not you should, or can you? Like, there's going to be this whole mix of things going on here that you got to find that right balance, and you can't please everybody with it. But I know for sure that there has been some bouncing issues with cars in AMS2 historically, and
For sure, for sure.
there was also an issue with high speed cornering, and like when you're really on the edge of grip at medium to high speeds, like there was like that choppiness from the outside tires. So you go like, bank, bank, bank around the corners. Yeah, that was
Yes.
something that they
That's
fixed with
gone.
the tire treads,
Yes.
right? So they're definitely
That's gone. Yes.
tinkering with it.
But
What I was going to say, go ahead.
I still wanted to say about the balance is that like even though I enjoy it, doesn't mean that other people have to enjoy it. And it's but it's one of these things that I thought that I've been looking at like onboards, especially old F1, like 90s F1, like onboards, and just seeing like the helmet that's just going ham, like just you can really tell that the cars are super stiff and just like not like bouncy, but like bumpy. Like
Jarring.
the ride is super, yeah. It's
It's
like
just
it's
rattling, bone rattling.
bone rattling ride.
Yeah.
And historically, sims haven't really, I mean, I might be missing something, but like sims haven't really gone after that experience. Maybe for good reasons as well. I mean, it's there are probably loads of reasons. Now we are seeing one of the issues, which is that it is uncomfortable. It is overwhelming, especially in VR. It is really overwhelming to drive one of these F1 cars at a bumpy track. But I'm hoping that they can actually do something to help people with this,
Yeah,
because
from
I
an
mean
experience point of view, not necessarily like a technical car point of view,
exactly,
like a
yeah. I mean
UI.
the
Yeah.
car will still, if the car is
Or you can
like
set a slider
losing.
or something, like, and you can just tone it down by slider.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they could do, but I mean there's it's probably something that it needs someone clever to like
Yeah, I
come
think
up
it's
with
just a
a
matter of getting that
stabilizing. Yeah. It needs
the
some sort kind of stable like
like the graphic of
stabilization.
the front of the car on your screen, tone that down and make it like an option, be like low, medium, high, or
Yeah.
normal. And like,
You
if
know.
for you and I who like it, we can set it to ultra, you know what I mean? And just be like, gah, gah, gah.
Yeah.
But then other people can set it to low and it'll just be more like an ACC kind of experience where it sort of just like glides over the track.
I think ACC must be doing something like that, maybe. There's some kind of damper there. Like
Yeah, it's
dampering
not
the
I don't think it's necessarily suspension related, to be honest, at
No,
all.
no,
Like,
no. No, no,
yeah,
no. I
it's
mean
visual related.
there's like a visual damper going on.
For sure.
And that's fine. I mean if they can come up with something like that, but we'll see. I mean there's so much stuff to for them to figure out still. So, I mean it's probably on the list, but who knows when. But I mean, I'm just saying I think it's one of the like unique parts about AMS2, and I like how I like how bouncy everything is.
Yeah.
Not bouncy in
But
the sense that oh
just put
the
in that
suspension
option.
is bad. Yeah.
Yeah, just put in
Not
that option
bouncy.
for people because
Yeah.
everyone has different tastes. Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Exactly, yeah.
So there's another interesting topic that I want to bring up, and it's like sort of like an 800-pound gorilla or elephant in the room. Jimmy Broadbent and
What about
Ehrman,
him?
and also a lot of other YouTube producers have been experiencing AMS2 again, maybe, since the Race in USA update. Have you watched any of these videos? And I'll just name, Jimmy did one, Ehrman did one, Racing Beyond Matter, Empty Box just did one. Sim Ra Never forget Sim Racing 604. Have you watched any of these things?
I've seen Jimmy's video.
Okay.
I've seen Gamer Muscle try it out on multiple occasions as well. I mean, good on him for doing that.
A lot of
And
his work
then
is live too. He records full stream sessions, so you can't say he's
he
not putting
is
his time in. That's for
the
sure.
guy is in the guy is intense. I don't know how he I don't know how he does that, but yeah. I've watched those, and then Empty Box, like you said, I enjoy the way Empty
He
Box
just did
approaches
one,
things.
and I literally agreed with almost 100% of the things he said on that. L
Yes, and
almost
then
100%.
Billy Strange came in with like a 180 degree turn, almost
Right.
like a U-turn. He said that 1.2 changed his mind about AMS2, and
Interesting.
he was really positive about it.
Okay.
Then he made a video racing the Corvette at, well, somewhere,
Laguna.
I
It's got to be
forget.
Laguna if you're racing the Corvette for the
It
first time.
is. I think it is. Yes, I think it was. And yeah, then
I'm not
he was
kidding.
like,
It was me too. Everybody, I think, goes to Laguna first with the Corvette.
then he had like constructive criticism, which was, I think he approached that nicely, and it's a good video,
I haven't
the
watched
Billy
that one.
Strange Corvette video. Yeah,
I haven't watched his yet. I think I'll check it out.
recommended.
But I remember, Billy Strange was pretty on the harsh side of things, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, with the, I think it was Mercedes GT3 AMG. And when you're really harsh as a YouTube influencer, it can come across like it comes across a little bit too harsh, I guess. Maybe they think that they're making an honest critique of it, but there's a lot of things I think that's it's important that you get that detail right, like about the mechanics of the cars when you're making these videos that that people are going to be influenced by. Did you see Racing Beyond Matters video?
Oh, I've seen a bunch of those. Those are
Unreal.
he under yeah, he does such a fantastic
I
job with those,
love
yeah.
that guy. Like I just the way he started his last video was just so it like it made my day better. 'Cause I
Yeah,
went
oh
in,
yeah.
it's just like it just like I just laughed and 'cause he had that whole like AI element to it, but it fit like with his it was sort of like sci-fi, like he's getting ready to go in the it was just so ingenious the way he did it. And obviously his if you haven't if anybody out there hasn't watched any Racing Beyond Matters, this guy has a full like real duplicate I guess you could say dashboard setup for his racing experience. Triple cams set up like as if they're windshields. Okay, he's got all of the buttons, they're real on the screen. All of the his rim and wheelbase is appropriate for the cars. He dresses up in a track suit. He's got I've seen ones, I don't know if it was Racing Beyond Matter, but there was like a the nylon safety net, and he had like a fan blowing on it, so the safety net was blowing. But
Yeah, that must be him,
Racing
yeah.
Beyond Matter just got gets into I think it was Nordschleife in a Porsche RSR, and then he did one in the M8 too, or was it the M8? Yeah, he was in the M8 in this video that I'm referring to. Excuse me. Just like you couldn't tell the difference between like real whether or not he was in the car or not. Like it was just so surreal, but so cool at the same time.
Those are cool videos, yeah. Like you can watch those from just like just in awe from the first second. And the way he talks about AMS2 as a whole is, I think,
Tactful. I would say he's just level, even
that,
keel, level-headed, tactful, respectful, very kind to everybody's
yeah,
opinion. It is what it is.
also summarizes like my feelings about it really well, even though I don't have his setup. But I like just getting any VR headset. It could be like any old one. Like you can get like an older headset for, I imagine, less money these days. I mean, I didn't pay that much
Think VR
for
can
my Rift.
duplicate what he did. He's
Well,
like
no, not in that sense, but like
he's
'cause he
like
talks about
RR. He's like reality. Like it's almost at
it
that
is,
point.
it is, it is. But like, if you're not creating content for someone else, if you want to enjoy how immersive AMS2 is, getting any VR headset and getting it to
Oh no,
run
I
well,
completely agree.
which is easy with AMS2, by the
Yeah,
way.
and it's less
You don't have
expensive.
to have a monster machine. Just
Yeah.
don't like push the limits with a Reverb G2 or something like that if you don't have a nice PC. But yeah,
I
a
also
VR headset and AMS2 go so well together. It brings out like I think it just like elevates, like it's like a completely different
Yeah, for sure.
game almost.
And there's tons of people out there that I see comments all the time, VR, racing VR, it's the best, and it is. What about I saw Mike's video from Sim Racing 604.
Oh, that one I haven't seen yet, but
He
I really
did
like Mike. I like
he
Mike.
oh, I love Mike. He did a
I think
Nordschleife
everybody loves Mike. Yeah.
multi-class. Dude, he's the nicest guy, you can just tell. And that's I can, and that's endearing to me. But he did a Nordschleife multi-class 2 lap. I think he did the was it the full course, the 24-hour course? I can't recall. But but the thing that was really noticeable was he made the conditions awful, like the awful racing
Yeah.
conditions. And he had the bravery of doing that, he's successfully completing 2 laps without crashing his car. And I just thought that was such a brave thing to do, knowing that you have 35,000 subs, to just take on that challenge. And
Yeah.
it was like there was a comment in there, and I can't recall who mentioned it, but he said he reflected my thoughts as well. It was like Sleepy Hollow, the legend of Sleepy Hollow. I don't know if you know that story with the Headless Horseman. Like
Actually,
it's like a Halloween story.
I don't actually.
Okay, so I'll just give you a backstory. It's like a poem slash story. And you might have seen movies about it, but the legend of Sleepy Hollow is sort of like this headless horseman. He doesn't have a head. He has a pumpkin on his head, and he rides at night on a
Right.
black horse. And it's sort of like this creepy, eerie kind of story. That's what that reminded me of. So like, it was missing. It was mixing like a literary element, and then like a racing element, and then like this challenge element that he captured a lot of like the I'm just watching it and I'm just like fascinated. I'm just like, oh my God, here comes somebody from, here comes some headlights. How far away are they? They're getting closer. They're getting closer. Is he going to try to
Oh
pass? And the track conditions were awful. I just thought that was a fantastic representation of AMS2. Now what do you think about Jimmy and Ehrman's videos? Or do you have an opinion?
I think with Ehrman, I watched the what was it? It was like a 24-hour, like it was a, it's like a, I think it was like a six, 24-hour race in 25
He did.
minutes type of thing.
Yeah.
I watched that and the only thing that I could I kept thinking about is because when he judges the AI, he judges it like he treats the AI in a different way than I do. Like my general approach to AI, like how the AI should be, is different. So whatever he says about the AI doesn't really fit my like it doesn't mean anything to me. Like he judges it. I mean he can I mean he has every right to do it like this, but or think like that or like treat the AI in his way. I don't think the AI will ever be what he wants it to be.
Yeah,
Which
I
is also
don't.
fine. But I think just sometimes like the criticism can like it can be fair, but at the same time it might also be the thing is that sometimes you may want something to be one way, but like then like half of the
Player base
people
doesn't.
actually want it to be on the other way.
Yeah,
And
it's like you
in this
beware what you ask
case,
for because you just might get it kind of situation.
Because he drives, he treats the AI really bad, like as if they aren't even supposed to be people who,
Right.
like artificial people who actually want to race you really hard.
Yeah, and
Like,
I find
almost
that
looks like
that's.
he wants them to get out of his way
Yeah,
sometimes. I'm not
yeah.
saying all the time, but like sometimes I get this feeling.
No, yeah,
But
of
I might
course.
be wrong. But like this is the thing. You gotta keep. I mentioned this not because Ehrman is somehow wrong. I mentioned it because with this criticism, what you need to also keep in mind, AI criticism, I need to be specific here. The AI criticism you need to keep in mind is that when someone says that it's bad or somehow bad or keeps punting you off the track. I mean, for sure we do have like those issues as well, like actual like glitches where it for some reason punts you off in the exact same corner consistently, but it does the weird lunges, etc. But like when someone says that, I always think, well, what if they were racing online with people? Would they also like just like punt people? Like, would the person who is criticizing, would they also be like too aggressive and not careful enough? Because you need to be really careful when you're racing, and that's really also something that you have to learn. And I think AMS2 is AI is actually, from a racecraft point of view, I think it's really good because it teaches you to be careful. I mean, you also need to be careful around
Teaches you
like
racecraft.
perfectly good like humans. You also need to be careful around humans because you never know when they
Of
might
course.
decide, well, I'm just gonna like I'm taking this corner. You like sometimes people do that, and people also make mistakes, so you gotta like keep your distance.
So
So
there's
sometimes
one example I can give you
incidents
is,
happen in close racing.
yeah, for sure. So one example I can give you specifically is there was a people make, oh, this AI is bad videos, and they'll post them on Facebook, ha ha ha, everyone's laughing, yeah, look how bad the AI is.
It's cherry picking,
And it's like you watch a video like that, and I watched it, I watch a video like that, and I watch it twice. The first, I envision it like the human player being the human player, and the AI was knocking him off the track. The next time I watched it, I envision what the AI being the human player, and the human player being the AI. So I like switched the re I did a role reversal in my head to watch it again, and I couldn't tell the difference. Like, you could literally write the same, make the same video criticizing the AI from both perspectives. And I know for sure that on many of the tracks, and I do this all the time because I do these crazy last to first challenges. Like, when you to successfully complete a good looking race at a really competitive AI strength rating, in 3 laps and pass 16 cars, you get to know the AI pretty intimately. And there's certain races and there's certain track combinations and car and track combinations that are particularly brutal with regards to AI competitiveness and how they treat you as a player. And I'll name a few. Bathurst. They have, what else? Another one. What was the one? Hockenheim 77 against in GT1s, for example. Very brutal. They're brutal to each other. So there's always going to be examples of cars and tracks that are, wow, that's crazy. Like, they're just smashing into each other and they're smashing into you. But
Yeah,
what I've
Long
learned,
Beach. Yeah,
what
Long
I've,
Beach
oh
can
yeah,
also be
turn one
pretty
at Long
tricky.
Beach around the fountain, like the AI will literally try to, like, Dukes of Hazzard over the fountain. But what I've found is, it's like when you're driving like this kind of challenge is it takes you 10, 5, 10, 15 races to just figure out what the AI is thinking. Once you figure that out, you can do a clean race. Now, whether or not people have patience to figure it out, they just want to hop in and do a, 120 strength, 100 aggression race, and they get knocked off. So anyway, about the Facebook page, I should say, Daytona, the bus stop, it was just like a primary example of what people do wrong. The bus stop and chicane, if you're side by side with the AI, you better give them room. If you don't give them room, they're going to turn into you and knock you off the track. And that's happened to, I think everybody should be able to raise their hand on that. And it's because you forget that, AI are supposed to duplicate real life players. And I was thinking, if I'm going in the bus stop chicane at Daytona at like 276 kph, before the braking zone, and I slam on the brakes and I'm side by side with him and I'm starting to turn in, and he tries to like cut the corner, like how you would do if you're playing by yourself, like try to just get grab those curbs and get the best, so you can get a great exit. Like, that's how accidents happen. That's That happens in real life. So to
Bull
expect
trying
the
to take the,
AI,
yeah.
I mean, you have to turn in, because otherwise the guy's not gonna, you're gonna go
Yeah.
over the grass. So you have to turn in.
Yeah.
You're going high speed. If the guy doesn't give you room, like you're gonna hit him. Like there's, you can't not, you're going too high a speed to not hit him. So the player on the inside has to have a responsibility to give that person room. It's gonna compromise your bus stop, of course. But you got to do that. So don't, you can't criticize the AI for driving like that. There was one thing that's particular about AI that I find it's interesting is also their lunging is also has been annoying to people, like the last minute lunging on corner entry. And I've kind of mitigated that by being like aggressively, like trying to telepathically tell them that I am taking the inside of a corner when I hear that, I see the steam, you know, they're coming, you know, in your rear view. You know, I see the freight train coming, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm taking
Oh,
the inside, and there's nowhere else to go. It'll trigger them to take to adjust and take the outside. So that
Lord.
works. And then the other one, I think, is the big thing that they're still dialing in is, you know, the braking zone. A lot of the times in high speed cars, the AI, even if they're on the inside and say they're successfully passing you, they'll alter their they'll try to get on the racing line if you're there or not. And so they'll jink really hard and just like hit you off the track. That's also something that's realistic. I mean, not realistic, but it's an actual thing that's happening with the AI now. Now, it looks severe because they're jinking so hard. If they did it a little bit more casually, you'd have a chance to react to it a little bit more. Because wouldn't it be realistic if you're passing somebody on the inside that you would try to squeeze them out to the outside as far as you can so you can get a good line? And then so you're sort of kind of playing chicken. Like, are you going to hit this guy? Well, the AI just jinx it and they hit you. But in real life, it's realistic. You would try to nudge the guy over to the right, and if he respects you and thinks you're, you know, doesn't want to get in trouble, he'll give you space. So.
The thing about the AI development, or the like, its history, in AMS2, is that it used to be super bad. Everything used to be the AI used to just like run as a single train for the first few laps, even I think, and they were super slow. But what we have now is an AI. Like fundamentally, this is really important. The AI is not just there to give, like to have like these, don't know, other cars as decorations, and then just give you room. They're
Rolling
not
chicanes.
there
They're
to
not
just
just there
be.
to give you eye candy. They're actually
Exactly.
racing you.
They
Yeah.
are racing you fundamentally. They're racing you. They're defending. They're racing each other, which is fantastic to look at. But then we still have these things that Razer needs to massage out, and I fully believe that they can do that because if you have seen where the AI was just like 6 months ago, this is a lot better these days. But also, like, that gives me the belief that it's some rough edges that they can
Of
fix
course.
those. And so the really important thing about the AI is that it's fundamentally something that they race each other, they defend, that they're really like they race like real people, and you got to treat them that way. Now, for sure, if the AI does something stupid, like something that no human would do, or if they're a bit too human-like sometimes, like if they're
Too human, like
always
that's
act,
funny.
if they're acting
If they're
like
too
it's,
multiplayer public lobby,
you
you
know, if the AI goes into this like public lobby Monza turn
imagine
one mode,
everyone would
yeah.
uninstall if they
But I
became
mean,
too human.
they do that like sometimes. Like that was a bit too human. Like what are you doing? The AI needs to be. I think it is. I think we will get there.
I
But
get
like
it.
the, I think the ultimate goal is probably something that like just pushes you really hard. They don't. There are no pushovers, and
Right.
They
Something you
go
can
for
adapt to
gaps. They go
your
for gaps.
skill.
You need to, yeah. You
But
need to, like, you need to start defending.
yeah,
Like, the
exactly.
thing, yeah. Like, you have to defend against
Yeah,
the
it's not a
AI. But,
casual, like you can't be like at the same time saying, "Hey guys, I race at 120 AI strength," and and you can't take it, like you have to take it seriously, 'cause that's some serious racing going on there. So I think your approach is right, is like to treat the AI as if you're driving the car in a serious sim. Like they're trying to simulate realistic conditions as best as they can. But the other thing I wanted to mention was, for all those AMS one guys out there that say, the AI is fantastic, okay, there's nothing out there to suggest that Ryzen won't meet or exceed the AMS one level AI. It's just that they have to go through a different way of doing it, through a whole different like coding pattern or whatever you want to call it. You're the developer, not me. But what I'm, my po my ultimate point is, it's like I know and I trust that Renato and the team are going to just tune it in, tune it in, tune it in. And there's a major shift behind the scenes with AI that I'm aware of, is before they had like a global AI setting for all of the cars and all the tracks. And I'm not really that expert at it, but the AI have to do like some sort of like a radar detection of things going on around them at all times.
I think so, yeah.
And when
Avoidance.
and the speeds and the car's own physical capabilities that they program in the cars, for you could set the AI perfectly well for one class but break another. Does that make sense? Like, so if, like you could set it so
It
that they
does,
to
yeah.
break appropriately at the right spot, but then like if you take it to a Formula Ultimate, it'll be just like they're madmen because they're braking so late or something. So that there's that constantly back and forth and trying to play a balancing game. What they've done is, if they as I believe they've already done it, is that they've shifted to a class specific AI parameter system. So if there's an AI that is particularly good, boom, you're done. Leave it alone. And then
They,
they
yes,
can move
they,
into another type of class and then fine tune that one. Boom, they're done.
yeah, that I think they already did that because they, I think Razer themselves posted a video.
Yeah.
Was it someone else? Of the F, well, some, I think it was some nine, well, it was some F1 racing at, I forget which track, but the gist of it is that the video displayed F1 AI racing that we have hadn't seen in AMS2 yet. It was so close and like hard racing that
Right.
just didn't, I don't think it happened before with the AMS2 AI, but now you can do that with the F1s.
I find driving the higher performance the car, the more challenging the races are by far. And that's the allure of it, and it should be that way. Obviously, it's the pinnacle of auto sports. But the principles of racing still apply. You have to give up positions if you're on the inside to maintain your car. If you go in a mentality of driving the AI like you would drive if you're trying to preserve your car and not worry so much about, I want to get to the front, like drive appropriately for the circumstances, you're going to be fine more often than not. And that's what I found in experience and in my experience. The other thing that's frustrating sometimes is the slowness of the AI on particular tracks and particular corners, and then they're hyper fast on others, and like everybody
And
experiences
rain.
that. Yeah. But what about the physics of the game? Let's talk about this just a little bit. Do you Jimmy and Ehrman has been gone back and forth about his enjoyment of the game, and I think he does like it in certain ways, but he's also been very kind of critical of it from a, like a realism standpoint. And I think Jimmy also. Did you watch any of those parts of those videos, and did you agree that what are your thoughts about what they mentioned about as far as like the criticism of AMS2? Did you have any thoughts about that?
So my take on Jimmy, Jimmy's, so Jimmy didn't really, still didn't feel the physics, like he felt that the physics still aren't really there for him in AMS2. And fine. Each sim is different. And the thing about AMS2 is that it simulates stuff that hasn't really been simulated as much before, maybe, like, because you know about this stuff more than I do, but like the setup stuff is really actually does a lot to the way the car handles, but also how you're able to run a full race without ruining your tires, etc. And then just as I mentioned before, the bumpiness, and then the because the then the like the conditions, because live track makes it so that the track is like ever changing. You s like there's all kinds of stuff happening, and the like the temperature, the rubber. I mean, there's other sims
Yeah,
do
and I think I
rub rubber, but like just the track temperature alone, or the fact that rain can wash away the rubber, and that sort of stuff. Like you never really know. Like the conditions are always going to be a bit different if you randomize things, and that's one of the things that's really cool. So I think, and then we also have the tire model, which is also diff like it is a paradigm shift,
Yeah,
because
of course.
a lot of sims, and Renato has also written about this in the Facebook Q&A. A lot of sims do the I don't know how to pronounce that, but they do this like
The P word. The guy name
like
is like a
curve.
it's a
Yeah,
Eastern
it's
European P word, like the P, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
check or something. Yeah, so they're based more or less. Many are based around that, I think. And in any way, like these curve-based tire models, where ACC, I think, still bases around that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably different,
And
but like that
they've
sort of.
adjusted it recently for towards more like AMS 2, where you have like a softer tire wall, kind of a rubberier more feel to it. Now they obviously haven't met in the middle, obviously. I think ACC is still over on the stiffer side of things, but I think with the
But
set of tire,
if we yeah,
I
go
was going to say with the
ahead.
set of tire model, like it's a completely different thing. And I'm
Yeah.
glad that you mentioned Renato, because he explained this in his Q&A pretty good, to pretty good detail. The one of the main things is when you have a dynamic tire model like the setup, when where they have a lot of things they can do with it, they have to learn it as well from the inside out, and they're doing that. But there was an element in his Q&A answers that I thought gets lost in the conversation about how the cars are supposed to feel, and that is with the force feedback. So if you have a softer tire model, it doesn't necessarily mean it's more realistic. You may just be feeling that rubber through the force feedback. Like my assumption, and maybe this is off base, but there would be a way to program the force feedback to make the AMS2 feel like ACC, and you wouldn't know the difference on track between the two tire models. Like is the force feedback causing that edge of grip feel that people are complaining about that they don't think is realistic? I'm sure there's some it's part of the conversation, because if you're driving a direct drive, you get all that information. If they neutered that a little bit just from the force feedback programming, I'm wondering if anyone would be able to tell the difference. So perhaps the answer is just like the force feedback is just more, it's giving you a little bit more information that you're used to. But the tire models themselves are generally behaving similarly. I wonder about that. The other thing I wonder about is what Renato mentioned is about the actual the tire physics itself, and the physics of the cars being translated through the force feedback as well. They're going for that more weightier, like you can feel weight shifts in AMS too. To a like a very dynamic degree, and on top of that, you feel the rubber of the tires to a pretty good degree. I love that about the game, about the sim. But does it make it
Yeah,
less
me too.
realistic, do you think?
Does it make it less
Yeah.
realistic?
Do you think that feel, that extra feel, like does it make it less realistic to you? I guess it would be a simple yes or no answer.
No.
Yeah, me neither.
But yeah, and that's like that's that there is, I think, a fundamental difference. The just to mention a few, I think AMS one. For one, like I mean, for one, yeah, Raze's previous game, and then Race Room. Is there something else that I'm thinking of? Maybe like the F1 series by Codemasters. These all have this like sharp feeling, force feedback. But also, I think the adhesion is kind of hard, like this like sharp feel has this sharp feel to it.
Right.
So you get this like I think that gives you this fundamental front end feel, like that the front end is gripping and biting into the on the like has this like fantastic bite. So the car feels sharp. AMS2 for the most part doesn't feel that sharp, and Renato also talked about that.
Yeah, the I think you're referring to the tire grip peak being sort of
Exactly.
like rounded
Yeah.
off or sandpapered off as opposed to other ones being a
It
little
is, yes.
sharper. But
And the
ultimately, at the
tire
end of the
model,
day, it might
yeah.
have the same like grip factors. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just because it's a
Yes.
peak doesn't mean that you're getting more or less grip. It's just going about it in a different way, right?
Yes, and also he did mention specifically that they had to work a lot on the tire model in AMS1 just to make slides more catchable. But he said that even with all that work, like this like tank slapper thing remained. So fundamentally, AMS2 is more catchable and more to Renato's liking, if you know I'm reading between the lines, more to his liking. With the ability, like the completely organic ability to drive the car hard, go over the limit sometimes, and it's like you're completely fine. Because when you learn the FFB, it's not the like you don't need to find this like super sharp, super narrow center with the wheel
Right.
in the opposite lock. It's more like I think it's like it's this like vague thing. Like it's not like the hardest thing in the world to do to like catch a slide. You just need to do it early with some tires because some tires turn into lava in like half a second
Right, of
if you
course. And
slide them.
I think that's a good point that you brought up is because like and I and I'll harp on this again, and I've mentioned this before, but the dynamic nature of the tires, and I feel like I reiterate myself a lot with this element, but one of the things that's realistic to me is the fact that you can catch a car, right? Maybe it's a little bit
Exactly.
overboard for somebody's particular tastes because they're used to something else, but you can catch a car. But guess what? That little thing, that maneuver that you did that you caught, has an impact on how the car is down the down the down to the next corner because your rears are going to be, you know, 3 more degrees hotter because of
Yep.
that slip that you have to take into consideration for the next corner. And if you keep doing that on a continuous basis, you're going to have a tire temperature delta between the fronts and rears that is an uncontrollable situation. So bringing that element into, you know, bringing tire management into the game or the sim is a fantastic element of realism to me. And I don't think how that I can't see how
It
that could be
is,
debated
yes.
because I would easily give up a sharpness for a little bit more grip feel and obviously the skill of, you know, keeping the car on track is getting that grip feel and keeping it there, right, appropriately. That's a skill in and of itself, but beyond that is the cognizance that the player has to have when driving these cars and how they're driving them and how the car is set up does make a difference on how the car is going to feel from lap one versus lap five. And that's dynamic to me. That's realistic to me, right?
And that's pretty much it.
That sums
And
it up to me too.
going back to Jimmy is I think I have this feeling that maybe he just doesn't spend enough time with it. Like he has this he has every right to have it as well. I mean nobody you don't have to like it. I mean it's also fine if he doesn't like it and if he thinks that it's unrealistic or whatever. The other thing that he did say, and I think he always remembers to praise AMS2 for its immersion. So I think a lot of the
Right.
times we need to chill with the realism talk as well. I mean,
It's a good thing
it's
to
just
have or
completely
strive
unmyth.
for, but I think
It yes.
realism is a subjective thing. Like it depends on
Exactly.
who you trust, Who do you, what do you feel? Are you compelled to drive what you're driving?
And
Like, you're going to hear arguments on both sides either way, like whether or not one car is realistic. You want to trust the ACC paid drivers to give their opinion on realism, or do you want to trust a guy that says, "Hey, I drive Caterhams in real life, and AC and AMS2 does them great." You know, who are you listening to? Who are you trusting? That's a big
Yeah,
part of it
that,
too.
but also if you're not just like, just what are you looking for? If you're like me and you're like, you've watched these onboards, so those set an expectation of, this looks like race cars are kind of, yeah, the ride can be a bit uncomfortable, it seems. And an AMS2 is one of the only sims that's actually giving me that, like, the matches that. Those onboards in many cases. And
Right.
then the thing you said, what if you want this like tire management, like this tires need to be dynamic. And if I slide and catch a slide in T1, it's fine, but then I need to keep it in the back of my mind. I need to make sure to drive a bit more careful for the rest of the lap
Right.
to give the rear tires a chance to cool down. And this sort of, and what if the track is 60 degrees? Or
Right.
60C, I mean, because that might throw some people off. So what if the track is 60C and the tires are just going to melt no
Yeah.
matter what you do? So
I put a build
that
together
kind of stuff,
for I
yeah.
put a build together for the Mercedes GT3 at Bathurst. And what is the first people like what does the setup look like, I think, for Bathurst that most people are going to go for? Like if you're going to make one adjustment for Bathurst, it would be rear wing. You're just going to get rid of it, right? Because Bathurst is so fast down that hill.
Maybe, yeah.
I
That
did
might be
the
my, yeah.
opposite with that
Yep.
build. And there's reasons for that. Like people will jump into the car maybe and they'll be like, "Well, this thing is a pig down the back straight. I'm getting the AI are catching up to me." Well, guess what? You know, during the mountain section, when your left front or right front tire is at 115 degrees, you're going to want some downforce to keep that thing cool. So like
Yeah.
there are reasons like the even the builds that I do, the tire temps are pretty much the entire conversation. So when I hear people saying it's not realistic because oh I you know I feel like I can catch the car a little bit too easy. I'm just like, well, you know, that's one part. Like that's great. I respect your opinion on that. But it's nothing to say that that's more or less Simcade than what AMS has to offer because there's so much more sim beyond that AMS2 offers above and beyond a lot of other titles that
Exactly, yeah.
it's just it can't be ignored. And I fear that a lot of people that are viewing these kinds of videos are that are on the fence about AMS2 are, you know, they're not being getting the full picture of the game, and that really
Yeah, that's
bothers
good.
me.
That's a good point, yeah.
And ultimately, I think one of my goals as an enthusiast of this game is to reshape people's thinking about what you can do as a player to be aware of these types of dynamics that may be compelling for you. Just give it a chance. Now, obviously, I can't talk about old multiplayer. Like, I can't guarantee you a lobby every time you log on and jumping into your favorite GT3, you know, and doing Zolder or whatever. I can't guarantee that at all. What I'm saying is, like, there is something here that we can, as a, you know, even if you're looking for just realistic experience, there is so much more realism in AMS2 that is being ignored. Basically,
Yes,
and there was also one more thing I
agree,
wanted
yeah.
to make about Jimmy's video in particular was, and I think both Ermin and Jimmy said that they're not really, you know, they don't want to get into the setups and they don't feel like they have to, and there's a lot of people that don't feel like they should need to get into setups. That's fine, that's their choice. I feel like a sim should have a setup program that makes sense, and AMS2s definitely make sense to me. The other thing is like when the thing that sort of caught my ear when Jimmy was racing the DPI at Daytona was he was getting like tank slappers, and the car was feeling wobbly through like say the bus stop and things like that. So he was saying that that wasn't realistic, and because the DPIs would be more planted. And for me, I'm like, well, if you're getting tank slappers, your rear downforce is going to drop. That is realistic. You know, the getting that wobble when your diffuser gets starved. You know, because you're bouncing off the tarmac, you
Yeah.
know, that is going to come across like that. That is realistic another element to that is how do you fix it? You know, how do you fix that element for that track? And that opens up a whole world to people. And I think slowly, maybe not slowly, I know there's a huge group of people that are hidden enthusiasts of AMS2, but as far as growing within the sim community, it's just capturing more people because there's that element of what I'm talking about, we're talking about here. So anyway, that was episode one of the Boltcast with Steel and Oz. We're planning on making several of these, and we hope that you enjoy them. If you've listened to the end, we're going to be periodically do them every bi-week, maybe bi-weekly, every 3 weeks or so. It's not going to be a regular thing, but you know, let us know what you think down in the comments. We plan on incorporating some interviews, Oz. I have some ideas of who I want to bring on that might pique people's interest. Nemesis 69, if he's out there. So again, I hope everybody has a great week. Thanks for listening, and take care.